College Volleyball Weekly, The Beach Report, with Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford, Matt Fitzpatrick of Florida State, and Rob on the mic. Now here are your hosts with The Weekly Report.
Hey, good day, everyone. I'm Rob Aspero with the Volleyball Volley Podcast, and we've got College Volleyball Weekly, the Beach Edition, and we have a tree takeover going on here. We've got Sunny Villapando and her partner. Well, they kind of split up when I saw them last for a second duel, but Charlie Ekstrom, both of Stanford University, hence the tree takeover. We're not losing Mad. She just had some life stuff going on called school and other life, but she'll be back around. So don't be afraid, fans. She'll be back. And I know she's got a little fan club following. So, but we got Sunny Villapando, who is an awesome defender behind Charlie. Although we know Charlie, you know, she wants all the attention because she's the big blocker up front, right? We're these smaller, more precise decision makers, right, Sunny?
yeah, that one.
Well, hey, we had an exciting week two of the young collegiate beach volleyball season. So I wanted to start both of you off with this question. What were some of the shockers, eye catchers, the big results that you saw this last week? And let's welcome our rookie to the show, Sunny Villapando.
First of all, thanks so much for having me last minute, even though Mads can't be here. I'll try to fill her shoes. But I think one of the matches that definitely caught my eye was the LMU Long Beach game. It was a super, super close duel, and sort of the LMU had won against Long Beach 3-2. But I saw that the fives pairing, they went to like a super close set to three, and it was like 20-18 or something like that. And so I think they get a rematch this upcoming week, but I'm super excited to see that one, that game again.
Did any particular of the pairs catch your eye with the results? Because I know that although they're close in location, and I mean, they're pretty similar in talent, but LMU definitely has the edge. But were there any matchups that really caught your eye within that particular duel?
Like I said, I mean, the fives pairing, it was a super tight match. And it honestly, like, I didn't know who was going to win that game. But I will say Mari and Tyler played very, very, very well. I mean, they beat Megan and Ia 21-10 and 21-18. Like, it was, they played lights out. Like, it was a really good game.
We got to give props to that number five pair of Long Beach State and LMU. For LMU, Sydney Herman and Darby Dunn, who are taking on Long Beach State's Jillian Rodriguez and Emily Mattoon. And you're 21-16, 15-21, 20-18, a deuce third set tiebreak. So definitely high stakes in that one. How about you, Charlie? What was an eye catcher in your realm?
Yeah, I think we can take this over to the East Coast. I think that the talk of kind of the weekend was the FSU versus LSU matchup at Death Valley Stadium, with FSU coming out victorious and LSU taking their first ever loss in Death Valley. I think that that was a big, big win for FSU, especially taking them down 4-1 and having three of the matches be won in two sets. I think that it was a more of a takedown than a lot of us were anticipating. And I think that, again, like Sunny was saying, this is kind of one of those matches that is coming back this coming week. And so we'll get to see like some bloodthirsty games coming back from LSU after kind of getting beaten quite a bit last week.
Ooh. I'm sure Matt would have loved to celebrate that live. I mean, we know going after last week's show that she was excited for this matchup. I'm going to jump on a West Coast matchup. I normally don't pick one, but you know, one of the teams that I like watching, because it's from the conference that I follow closely, is the Big West Conference. And it was number six Cal Poly against number two UCLA at the time. And I was just kind of shocked that UCLA beat them 5-0. And it was a pretty decent victory for the Bruins. But gosh, Cal Poly is a good team, and they picked up Amy Ozy from a transfer from Hawaii, but they didn't get on the board. So I was kind of shocked, but you know, my sense is Cal Poly is a process team, especially with a coach like Todd Rogers. So he's going to go over the body of the work this season, and they'll be there at the end and come the Big West Conference tournament time. So let's jump on to our next question here for our show. What are the top duels that you'll be keeping an eye on for this upcoming week in week three? And we'll start with, let's go Charlie this time.
All right. I think you brought up Cal Poly in their matchup versus UCLA. And I think that the kind of match that I've picked this week that I'm really excited to see is Cal Poly taking on yet another ranked team, but a ranked team being in Pepperdine. And I think that that's going to be a pretty even matchup. And we're going to see a pretty tough battle back and forth between those two there.
How about you, Sunny?
I agree. I think one of my, one of the watches that I'm definitely going to be keeping an eye on is the GCU versus Tulane, especially with Tulane finally getting back in the rankings, the top 20 rankings. And I think it'll be interesting to see how they play against a pretty high ranked team. Is GCU what, 10 now?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Actually, so that'll be an exciting game.
Yeah. Grand Canyon is 11 in the ABCA poll, and they are also, they actually dropped 11 across the College Beach Volleyball poll as well.
Yeah.
A good call on that one. I'm going to throw mine in there as well. And I don't know what it is about this particular matchup, but TCU against Grand Canyon. TCU is definitely trending upward on the polls, but what's really catching my eye is their number one pair I'm going to get their names wrong, Daniela Alvarez, and then it's a Tania Matei, I believe it is. But I looked at what they've been doing. They've beaten four top 15 teams. Their only loss was FIU's number one pair, who is a graduate student and a junior. I believe that one's a Spaniard, the other is a Brazilian. But these are two freshmen. So it's reminding me a lot of a particular pair from UCLA by the names of Megan and Nicole McNamara as freshmen playing high up in their flights. And it's cool to see what they're doing, the maturity they bring, and kind of like stalking them on their social media feeds and seeing what they've done as far as like their careers. Spanish national team with excellent results. So they're familiar with each other. So, you know, TCU is going to be a team to keep one eye on for sure, because they can roll up on your backside and then club you across the head.
Definitely. I think too with TCU, I mean, obviously you touched on their ones pair, but their number threes pair, Rochelle Scott and Maria Gonzalez. I know Rochelle because she's a Costa alum. Let's go. But she's been killing it. I've been keeping my eye out on the threes pair just because Rochelle's playing there and she's been balling out. So I think she's definitely just an athlete in general to be like keeping an eye out on.
I think TCU, like you were saying, Rob, and like Sunny was just saying, like they're kind of the surprise team that's been coming out these past couple of weeks with their ones pair, their all freshman pair being that national pair of the week to start off after week one. I think everybody kind of got their eyes open that TCU was a team to really watch out for from here on out.
Yeah. Well, there are so many matchups this week, and especially with this tournament, the March to May that's happening in Gulf Shores. Essentially, it's a preview to a semi-preview to the national championships, to that big weekend where they crown the national champion. But you got FSU versus Stetson. You have FSU versus Grand Canyon, FSU versus LSU in the rematch, LSU versus Georgia State, TCU versus Grand Canyon, GCU versus Tulane. And that's just on Saturday's matchups. So we're going to see a lot of people beating up on each other, I think, because the talent is so spread about the nation. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on it, but you know, the talent's getting deeper at each of the different pairs. And I mean, obviously you being a program as such, you know, you're beginning to get deeper as you get more talented players. And do you see that trend going across the nation? We'll start with you, Sunny.
I mean, I definitely see that trend. I mean, with COVID and everything, like we are one of the very few teams that actually don't have a ton of fifth and sixth year players. And so, I definitely think it's interesting right now because given COVID and everything, like there are so many teams right now that have like a lot of older players, but we are a very, very young team right now. And so for us, especially, like I see such a bright future ahead of us when like we're going to have hopefully more fifth years, hopefully more seniors next year, like just people that have been around the block a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything to add, Charlie? I feel like you had something you're going to say there.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I couldn't agree anymore. I think that we've been talking about for a while that this season, with the craziness of COVID, it's kind of going to be the season of upsets, and it's got kind of this insane uniqueness to it with how deep and how old some of these teams are, and just experience, kind of that maturity brought, but also with a lot of newcomers kind of breaking into lineups, you kind of see that contrast between maturity and new fresh faces. And it's like a really nice even like sense and kind of combination that just leads to some battles and leads to some upsets. I mean, we've seen in 3 weeks, we've seen teams from the 11 through 20 taking down teams that are ranked way above them. Like, I think that this season really is just going to be the season of battles and the season of upsets.
Well, I think that was Georgia State coming in number 19 and upsetting last week. Gosh, I forgot who they upset. But they that was a big win for
them. They upset FAU.
What, say that again?
Yes. They upset FAU 4-1.
Oh, that's right. That was our other team we were watching early on in the season. So they had a little stumble, but they're still going to be legit. I want to ask you both about the polls that just came out yesterday. There's obviously the AVCA, and then there's the College Beach Volleyball. But it seems like, I don't want to brag because I'm actually one of the voting committee members on College Beach Volleyball, but we kind of picked this. There wasn't a whole lot of volatility in our poll, but in the AVCA poll, there's a lot of shifting. Teams got hot, teams got cold, and I wanted to get your thoughts as athletes that are competing against some of these teams here. We'll start with you, Sunny.
You know what, Charlie, you want to take the lead on this one?
Yeah, I can definitely.
I got feelings about this one.
No, I'm also kind of, I've got feelings about it as well, because I think we are seeing some large shifts, but we're also kind of starting to see some teams that have been more idle, not necessarily seeing movement. And so I'm kind of curious to see as some of these rankings start to shift, as some of these matchups start to kind of really come out, we'll start seeing, like, I think that there should be even larger shifts happening in reality. And I think that those are coming. And I think we're all kind of like anxiously awaiting them, because I see numbers 11 through 20, like I was saying, I see numbers 11 through 20 starting to take down numbers 5 through 10. And obviously we've kind of got a power four right now, but I think even that power four has a little bit of that room up for grabs. And so I'm kind of excited to see the mumble jumbling of these rankings.
All right, so are you ready to chip in, or was Charlie spot on?
I mean, I think she was spot on. I mean, truthfully, like, I think the top 20 is all very competitive right now. And like she was saying, I think, like, when you look at USC, FSU, LSU, all up there in the top three, like, I think those are, like, well-deserved. But I also think, like we said, with the, like, the growing depth of rosters and whatnot, like, I definitely think that there is room for competition here. And I think that, I mean, even in our first game against UCLA, like, there was – arguably, like, could have, like, there was potential for an upset in our first match against them, losing 3-2. And like with our twos pairing, losing what, 18-16, like, there's some good battles going on. And I think it's just like anybody's game at any given day. And especially given everybody's lack of a preseason, like, I think everybody's sort of like just sort of trying to get back into the groove of things. And I think it'll be really interesting to see later on, like, when these teams meet back up again.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to spin back to, you know, the featured matchup of the week, the rivalry matchup between LSU and FSU, number one, number two. They just were crowned in last week's poll. But did that result shock you guys as fellow athletes and knowing the history and prestige of the programs? And we'll start with you, Sunny.
I mean, obviously, they're both amazing programs. But personally, like, I definitely feel like FSU has been grinding out and they earned that number two spot. Like, I think with Kira and her partner winning the
Tori.
Yes,
the, Tori. ABCA pair of the week.
Yes, like, I mean, that was well earned. Well earned. So for me, I mean, personally, I think FSU earned that spot.
Yep. How about you, Charlie? Thoughts on that particular matchup?
Yeah, I definitely say that I was a bit surprised at how kind of decisive the win was. I was almost expecting it to be down to kind of that last pair, third set, like, grinder match. And so with FSU coming out, I mean, FSU came out for blood in this match. Like, they were ready. And we heard it from Mads last week that they were ready for a fight. And like Sunny was saying, and we look at Tori and Kira, we look at their threes in Maddie Mae Anderson and Sarah Putt, and both of those pairs are 10-0 now. And it's crazy. This team is just putting up numbers after numbers. And so, like Sunny was saying, like, FSU earned that win and they just like they were grinding for that win. And I think it almost, I'm really excited to kind of see this rematch, because now LSU has finally kind of gotten a taste of a team that can take them down. They've kind of just been victorious because they're such a talented, such a deep squad. And so now that they've kind of got this taste of, hey, like we need to grind against these pairs as well. Like, I'm excited. They're already a grinding team, but now they're going to grind that much harder. And I think these matchups are going to get better and better as time goes on.
So the question is this, and pardon the pun, and here's that goof off segment. Have the Seminoles awakened the sleeping tiger? Sonny.
Honestly?
or Charlie?
I think so. I think that this is going to be, I mean, I'm almost excited that we're idle this weekend so that we get to watch the live streams of LSU versus FSU, because I think that it's going to be a gritty battle this upcoming weekend.
And that's going to be basically a practice national championship match at Gulf Shores, so to speak. So let's go down to the latter part of the top 10 here. You know, Cal Poly comes in at number 6, 5, depending what poll you look at. You know, they're obviously talented, but Hawaii, the team that you actually are their first duel, I think that's March 22nd. And is that in Hawaii or is that
it's
here?
Davis.
Now, how do you prepare for a team that you have no idea what's going to look like unless you do and you've been watching tape? Uh-oh,
you know,
that was a big pause there. A secret from the other bag.
I was trying to articulate. So when I think of kind of our preparation for Hawaii, I think Sunny can answer this pretty similar. I think that a lot of our goals with it are focusing on our side and focusing on what our teams can do. And we'll see what their teams can produce once we get there, but we have no idea. I mean, they've got a really, really new, fresh roster with a lot of indoor players coming over, with a new coach, with some girls taking gap years and choosing to opt out of this COVID season. And so we're going to see a lot of fresh faces, and that's just kind of going to be the name of the game. But if we focus on our side and if we prepare for them by doing the best things that we can do for ourselves, I think that that's going to be our best preparation.
Yeah.
And I mean, kind of just like following up with what Charlie said, like a big theme for our team, at least, has just been like not necessarily concerning ourselves with who we're playing, but how we're playing. And I think really putting that energy on ourselves is really where, you know, I feel like most upsets happen, is like sort of when you find that confidence, that inner confidence, like that's how you get upsets. That's how you get wins in general. Like you don't get wins by concerning yourself too much, at least with what the other side is doing. And more so just like trusting that, you know, you have the ability to beat virtually anybody that steps on the court. It's just about the mentality, truthfully.
Yeah, well, we're definitely seeing that early on here. And people say, well, it's because of the extended off season of COVID. But honestly, I think that you guys have been seeing a lot more very competitive, not only pairs, but entire duels coming down to that final match that's going on, the dual decisive match. And you guys took UCLA to that fifth point. It was 2-2. And it was a huge, huge, I mean, battle for both teams. And you can see that the talent was definitely present on all the courts. So it's exciting to see that shaping. We know that's happening in the Midwest, but also on the East Coast too. So, but we'll let Mads talk about that when she's back. She's more connected out there. You know, the question I wanted to ask you both is let's call it the College Volleyball Weekly Pairs Watch List. Who are some of the pairs that are really getting your attention that come to mind with only, we'll say, 3 weeks into the season? And we'll start with you, Sunny.
I mean, I think the first that comes to mind, obviously, is the notorious USC ones, Tina and Sammy. And I think for a plethora of reasons, but I also think it's pretty insane too. When you look at USC's roster right now, they have three teams, their ones, twos, and five pairs, who are all undefeated as of now. And so I think, I mean, while that lineup is all like pretty stellar, I definitely think for me, watching Tina and Sammy play, like that's definitely a standout pairing to me.
Yep. Agree. Charlie, how about you?
Yeah, I think I'll take up for Mads. I'll go to the East Coast of the East side. And I'll just bring back the names of Kristen Nuss and Taryn Cloth. They didn't quite get the attention this like weekend, but they put up that one win against LSU and they're undefeated this season. And I think that there's a lot of leadership that comes from Kristen Nuss and a lot of leadership by example. I mean, she's a phenomenal player and she's a phenomenal leader. And I think that they like that team themselves, like, I think that they've always been a force to be reckoned with, but at 8-0 so far, I'm excited to see how many more wins they can kind of add to that number.
I'm going to dweeb out again on another pun. Kristen has the eye of the tiger. I mean, she is so aggressive on the court and she's such a natural athlete with so much agility. So, I mean, as a defender, I mean, one of the best in the game, obviously Sunny, you're one of them as well. I'm not saying that just because you're on here, but you know, I've seen you over the last few years. You got some legit skills. So, but yeah, Kristen has been.
Kristen.
Yeah. Go ahead. Oh, no, she's, well, I mean, seeing all of you compete at the USA Volleyball Collegiate Beach Championships, I really got to see, you know, what's really happening around the nation, because it's a pairs competition with people representing the different schools. So it's like basically you're seeing anywhere from the top, you know, 3-2-1 pairs going against each other. And really, there's not that much difference if you look at the competition. So it's exciting to see that kind of development. You know, I was going to throw one out there, and Mads will be proud of me, that Florida State duo, Maddie Anderson and Sarah Putt, they play at their number threes, but the combination of Kira Rutz, Tori Van Winnen, and then Anderson and Putt, they're combined 10-0. So there's a guaranteed 2 wins for Florida State in duels, and that's 2 points right off the bat. So definitely be watching them just because, you know, Maddie is, I think, well, I guess it's her COVID freshman year because it's a redo. She is such a big and physical player with a good arm swing. Met her over the junior summer in 2019 and it's like, wow, how did you get such a strong arm at such a young age? But very Charlie Ekstrom-ish when I saw you playing indoors.
Oh my gosh, no, Maddie and Sarah, I mean, you brought it up with Kira and Tori and Maddie and Sarah. That's a red shirt freshman or Corona shirt freshman in Kira and in Maddie paired with a graduate in Sarah Putt and in Tori Van Winden. And I think that it's a really kind of what I was talking about earlier with that graduate maturity kind of wisdom to the game along with that fresh face. Like it's kind of the magic duo, like with both of those pairs. I mean, like you said, each pair is 10-0. So combined they're 20-0 with FSU. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't even know if Kira and Tori have dropped a set at this point. I mean, they are a well-earned national pair of the week this week. Just very, very talented duos.
Anything to add, Sunny?
I mean, I she said it very well. I mean, FSU has been on fire. That pair, Kira and Tori, they are on fire, onto something. I'm excited to keep watching them compete and see if this level of consistency stays throughout. Like, I hope it does too.
Well, one of the things that happened this last week I wanted to bring attention to is we saw Abby Van Winkle come back into the UCLA lineup against Cal. And she actually, they're playing two blockers together on the court number three. So Abby was playing some defense and she actually was doing some great stuff on defense. But I'm curious what's going to happen to that lineup if she moves up, you know, especially with how well the ones and twos are doing. But, you know, we'll know tomorrow when they play Pepperdine in their doubleheader. So
I think Abby's been there's been a bit of talk about her coming back. And I think, I mean, I'm stoked that she's back in the game. I'm beyond happy to see her back into that lineup. Mm-hmm. And it's fun to know that UCLA's got that kind of asset of having her back. I think that it's going to be interesting to kind of see where she falls in the coming weeks with her winning her games at the threes, 21-6 and 21-7 in that match. I think that it's going to be interesting to kind of see where she falls in the future weeks, because she is a big asset to have back. And I'm sure Stein is looking at it like, heck yeah, we got Abby back. That's epic.
And obviously too, UCLA's one and two pairs have been killing it. Lexi Dunneberg and Savvy Simo at the ones, and Devin and Lindsay at the twos. They've been doing really, really well. Mm-hmm. I am just curious about, you know, Abby at the threes. Like, she's a phenomenal player. And like Charlie said, the 21-6, 21-8 win. It's interesting for sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and go to our fan portion, our fan question segment, which we started doing because it got a really good response and got a couple, but I'm going to throw this first one for you. And we've already started talking about it. from user Shankopotamus is their name. I love that name. It seems there's a top four contenders, so to speak, in the collegiate beach game. With other schools lacking the depth beyond the number one and two spots, where do you see more teams pushing and upsetting the top four in the game? Or when do you see more teams pushing the top four in the game? 5, 10 years? Take a shot at it. Oh, stunned. Charlie.
I think that it's going to be much shorter than 5 to 10 years from now. I think that this is coming in the next 1 to 2 years, if that. I think that we're seeing, I mean, I saw in some of the later questions to come, we're seeing a lot of depth coming in the youth recruiting game, and we're seeing so many more programs added by the year to the beach volleyball scene and the NCAA beach volleyball scene. And so I think that kind of in the coming years, you're going to see some of this insane depth that we've seen in some of those top four, top five, top eight programs. I think that we're going to see that going all the way to top 20. Like, this beach volleyball is getting deep in the collegiate game. And I think that this is a rapid growth that we're going to see some rapid upsets pretty fast.
I agree. I mean, beach volleyball is such a fast growing sport. And I think specifically, like, when you're talking about the top four, like, when is there going to be some more depth across, you know, like, just more than a ones and twos pairing? I think when you look at the current lineups and whatnot, like, I think there are a lot of older girls at these top four schools, like USC, FSU, LSU, like, they have a lot of older players. And so I think, just like Charlie said, in the next 1 to 2 years, I think that there's going to be a big leveling of the playing field in that regard.
Yeah, I agree. Well, here, as an example, your program, you got a solid recruiting class in. I may skip out on a few minutes, no disrespect to them, but I remember just seeing the dual matchups. You got Zelani Hodel, Maya Harvey, I mean, names like that. And we've got to see Zelani play with you at the number one spot last weekend and at the number twos as well against UCLA, and solid skill set. We know Maya Harvey, another Redondo Union. That's your nemesis, isn't it, Sonny?
Yeah, she was actually, so she went to Costa her freshman year. So I actually, while I was still there, while I was a senior at Costa, she was still there. She was my freshman at Costa, and then she went to Redondo.
Yep.
But yeah, she did go to the rivalry school.
But you have this youth movement coming on to certain, you know, certain schools, the coaches that can recruit properly. So you're seeing, like, these highly talented pre-freshmen, we'll call them, coming in. I mean, Tessa Van Winkle, who was playing with Kira Rutz a couple of years ago. I'm like, the skill set on these people competing, Josie Ulrich from Cal Poly, you know, and I know there's a ton on the East Coast I'm overlooking. Sorry, Mads. There's a lot of names I had to remember during those tournaments. So, but you're seeing them come into these programs, so it's making them more competitive. So let's jump into our next question. Very similar. From Beachcomber, with NCAA Beach growing, there are more and more players coming every year, but not everyone can get into the top programs. By way of advice for future NCAA players who are not necessarily high school All-Americans, but who still can and want to be part of a good beach program, what are some of the up-and-coming programs? He says outside the top 20, but let's just say, what are the up-and-coming programs that have a bright future that they can start investigating? Start with Charlie.
Stanford, yes. Not just us as well, though. I think that you look at schools at number 11 through 20 or just 11 beyond. And I think that, like we've been talking about, beach volleyball is such a rapid growing sport, and there are so many rapid colleges being added every single day. I mean, I know that when I was starting my recruiting process, there were 44 schools, I think, nationwide, and not even all 44 actually had their beach programs yet. They had just announced that at one point they were going to be adding a beach program. Mm-hmm. And I think now we're up to well over 150, and that's a matter of, I don't know, 5 years since then. And so with how rapid, how exponential adding 110 teams just to the sport in 5 years, I think that we're, I mean, really, you just got to go to the ABCA like map and see where all of those colleges are and just pick where you want to go and start emailing coaches.
Excellent.
I think beyond that, though, I'm a little biased, but I think when I was really looking at schools, for me, like, it wasn't just about volleyball. It was also about, obviously, the academic side of things. And so if you can find a school that's really aligned with, like, what you think you're interested in, I think that's also something to consider. Because like Charlie said, like in the years to come, the sport of beach volleyball, collegiate beach volleyball, will be getting more competitive, like across the board. So I really think that it's worth considering not just the beach volleyball rankings, but also the academics that each school has to offer.
Yeah, because you can come in and turn that program around if you've got the talent, and you get a great education as well. So definitely big pluses. You know, one of the questions that I didn't send you guys, but I'm curious as to your take is, because I'm seeing this in the men's game, and those of you watching, listening, you know that I do College Volleyball Weekly, the men's indoor edition. But one of the things that we're seeing is an influx of international players coming in, getting the training. And even Anastasia Kravchenoka, Tina Gradina's partner, was out here training. And she actually commented, she goes, the NCAA Collegiate Beach Program is probably the best training athletes, female athletes can have to prepare for a career as a professional in the sport. Do you think that the talent that's coming in is getting that great training, and are they benefiting from competing against Americans like yourselves? I know it's kind of the out of the dark question, but I just happen to see that overlap. So take a stab at whoever feels ready to go.
I can start. I mean, I'd say 1000% yes. And I think that equally, I think it's a mutual benefit from one another. I mean, you brought up Tina. I think playing against Tina and getting the opportunities to practice or play with her has been an incredible opportunity and has made all of us who have gotten the opportunity to practice and play against and with her. I think it's made all of us better as a result of it. You see the Spaniards from TCU, and they are making the collegiate beach volleyball game better, but also bettering themselves in the process. There's Puerto Ricans that have entered the game. There are girls from all over, Cyprus. I mean, we're looking.
Don't forget our neighbors to the north. There's a lot of them here. The Canadians, bunch on LMU,
yes, the Canadians, Hawaii. The McNamara twins. The McNamara twins, Leah Monkhouse. We're seeing so many internationals that come in and just elevate this NCAA beach volleyball game. And so I think that while you were saying we elevate their game, they equally elevate ours. And we are so blessed to have the opportunity to play with and against them in this scene.
Yep.
Definitely. I mean, I think more than anything, I could, like that last thing you said about how like the people that are not from the US coming in and playing in the NCAA, like take the McNamara twins, for example, like they are definitely a pair that has opened my eyes to sort of like destigmatize, like you can't be under 6 foot and be a blocker type of vibe. Like they are absolute studs. And I think, again, just to reiterate, like, I think that we learn from them just as much as they learn from anybody in the US, you know, like it's like a new, it's like a new philosophy almost of volleyball, which is like refreshing.
So Sunny, we're going to see you blocking and Charlie in defense then?
Yeah. I'm not down.
Just may see someday.
Well, I think it's a good place to end our segment there. But actually, I wanted to mention is that Tina Gradina's birthday yesterday. So happy birthday, Tina. Representing Latvia in the Olympics in 2021 and USC All-American. A lot of big duels coming up this weekend. Be sure to follow all that you can. Stanford is off for a few more days. They got Hawaii. They're going to be their first duel. So that'll be exciting to watch. And don't know where you guys will end up playing, because I know that coach was messing with your pairs there, but I wish you both the luck where if you end up playing together, or with Zoe, or you with Kate, because that's another big talent, Kate Riley, who I got to watch last weekend. So Sunny Villapando and Charlie Exum, the tree takeover has been a successful one, and I enjoyed having you on, Sunny. Bob Sparrow of the Viral Volley Podcast. Stick around for my interview with the USC number 2 pair, Julia Scholes and Haley Harward, who are 6-0 and haven't dropped a set yet. So thanks for clicking in, and here they are. Hey everyone, I've got USC number 1, if it's collegebeachvolleyball.com's poll, or the number three on the AVCA poll, USC Trojans, Haley Harward, and Julia Scholes, who played the number two spot. Thanks for joining me this, we'll just say today. Ladies, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you, Rob?
Doing great, especially with collegiate beach volleyball back on and seeing some of my dear peeps playing on the sand and it being legal now. So I wanted to talk about USC season. We are early into week two, but already you've had a couple significant wins versus number six Cal Poly, number two UCLA, number 17 Long Beach State, and for a second time, number nine Pepperdine. Can you share about your particular pair's efforts so far this season? And let's start with Julia. She looks like she has something ready to just jump out of me.
Yeah, I think that as a team, we've been putting in a lot of work outside the game. And just in our partnership, we really have upped the communication and just talking through what works for both of us and really trying to get that right on the court. I know that we've definitely like hit some bumpy roads because all relationships has their ups and downs, but I think we're stronger because of it. And it's really showed in the opening weekends of just our chemistry and our trust in one another on the court. And I think we are both have the mindset of take it one game at a time, one point at a time, and hold our opponents with the utmost respect. And anyone we play can beat anyone on any given day. So I think that we're just happy to play the game that we love and go out there and compete.
How about you, Haley?
Wow. That's hard to follow up. Yeah, I feel like the same, that it's really not, you know, the skills we've been working at on the court, because we're all, you know, we've been playing volleyball for a long time and there's only so much you can refine. But definitely like the off the court communication and presence with each other and just making sure we're all on the same page is really important.
I got to ask a follow-up question because I know how you guys came together and started playing on the podcast episode. You guys have been playing less than a year together.
Yes.
Can you comment on that? I mean, all that time that you had, less than a year, let's be real.
Yeah, playing less than a year together, but spending pretty much every waking moment together makes up for the lost time. We're roommates, we have the same class schedule, we're partners on the volleyball court. So we get a lot of we time.
Anything to add, Haley? I see you're nudging. I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but obviously there's something happening. It works for you guys. Let's jump to our next question. Teams are not able to score more than 16 points against you in your wins. What is making you two such a potent pair? We'll start with Haley on this one.
I was going to say, I remember Pepperdine maybe the second time we played, I think they got 19.
Well, I was looking through the scores, but I may be incorrect. I definitely am late looking at the scores. So
I was going to say, you got to give everyone their credit out here.
Well, you're still a very potent pair because I don't think you've dropped a set together.
That's correct. But it's been pretty fun. I think that's kind of the main thing I'm focusing on, because we've talked and we're both such intense players and like we take this sport very seriously, but there's also more to life than volleyball. And so it's just really an opportunity to get out there and play every day is so fun. And I feel like that mindset allows you to bounce back, or allows me to bounce back quickly after mistakes or after I get absolutely housed by someone at the net. It's like there's two ways that could go. You either say, oh, good job, or you get, you know, really angry and overanalyze what just happened. And it's just kind of really fun to get the chance to play against all these schools and whoever they have that's healthy and that's tested, you know, that's who the lineup is and that's who we're playing. And it's just a fun opportunity to play.
All right, Julia, anything else to add on there?
Yeah, I would just say we don't really pay too much attention to the scores. Like, I know teammates after games, if they're in the next flight, will say like, what was the score of your game? And I'm like, oh, I actually didn't really look at the score. I just knew that it ended and that we won. But I would say that each point we try to look at as a new point. And if we made a mistake the prior point, we try to analyze how can we be better? How can we fix this for the next rally or the next game? And just really trying to learn from each aspect of the game and each opponent, because everyone brings something different to the table. So everyone is a teacher in their own way, and we can learn from everyone we play. So I think that mindset kind of helps us going forward in the future games that we play.
Excellent. Well, let's take it out to the team perspective, because the Trojans coming in as the ABCA number three, college beach volleyball number one team in the nation. The Trojans have really flexed their muscle with four top 10 wins as a team, only dropping a total of 8 sets in that run. What are your thoughts on the Trojans as a team and their performance so far? And we'll start, let's go with Julie on this one.
I think it's just such an exciting culture to be a part of, and everyone on our team from top to bottom, I have complete faith and trust in, and we all have just bought into the system and truly support each other and truly put the team first. And I think that shows on the court. And I just feel so grateful to be a part of this group that cares so deeply for one another and the game.
And Haley, anything to add on to there?
That was spot on. I just love every single person on the team, which is, I feel like, rare. Like, not a lot of times you get complete buy-in from players 1 through 18. And that's something really special about this team, is we're always telling each other what we're seeing, you know, during the match, before the match, just about each other, not even about the other opponents. It's just, oh, I have so much faith in you. I know you got this. And it's just so fun to cheer on my friends and my best friends and teammates.
You know, looking at the stat sheets, you know, not a bad gig for your five flights or your five pairs, because the ones, the twos, and the fives are all undefeated this year so far, which is a guaranteed win if they continue to stay undefeated through the season. Got to have a lot of confidence going into this next weekend, yeah, taking on Long Beach State again and Loyola Marymount for the first time. What are your thoughts on the competition this weekend? And we'll start with Julia.
I think we're just really excited to go out there and compete again and do what we love on the weekend. It's such a privilege to be out there, to have an able body and to be able to just play the sport that we love. I know both teams are tough and they're going to put up a battle. And I think it's important for us to just stick to the game plan and take it one point at a time, and play to win, not to lose, because we play our best when we're playing free.
And Haley, knock it out of the park.
Yeah, I think specifically what I remember is Long Beach is super scrappy. I know them a little bit. They're really talented and they just have so much heart and grit, which is like so prideful, and it's just so fun to watch how they play. So you can never sleep until the ball is down against them. And then I know with LMU, they're such a strong serving team, that's going to be really fun and a real challenge to try and get some side outs against their serves. So that specifically, that's what I'm looking forward to this weekend, but same as Julia, just excited to play really good people.
Excellent, ladies. Well, this is got Haley Harward and Julia Scholes of USC Beach. And depending on what poll you look at, they're top three. That's all you need to know. And thanks for taking the time, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Viral Volley Podcast. Be sure to follow Rob at Rob on the Mic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or at robonthemic.com. Check you next time.